The Chicago White Sox made it 2 in a row, beating the Cleveland Guardians 7-2. For the second game in a row, the White Sox hit 3 home runs. And for the second game in a row, Berger and Sheets were involved in the home run happenings. White Sox sent Dylan Cease to the mound on Thursday afternoon as the White Sox look for their first sweep of the season.
You are Locked On White Sox, your daily Chicago White Sox podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, Sox fans, welcome back to Locked On White Sox. Thank you for making Locked On White Sox your first listen each and every day. We're free and available on all platforms. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On Sox. Also, subscribe to our YouTube channel. Just search Locked On White Sox. Hey, I'm your host, Nick Murawski, a lifelong diehard Chicago White Sox fan, recording this podcast just blocks from the ballpark in beautiful Bridgeport. You can find me on Twitter at Nick_GGTB. Locked On White Sox is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Chicago White Sox take on the Cleveland Guardians on Thursday. Dylan Cease is on the hill. Catch every pitch of the White Sox hometown broadcast with SiriusXM on the SXM app. Search White Sox. How about it? Our White Sox make it 2 in a row. They are now 16-28 on the season. 1 game at a time, though. They beat the Guardians 7-2 on Wednesday on the South Side. No Josh Naylor for the Cleveland Guardians. And, of course, Ramirez out for what I'm told. We were told at the beginning of this series, the entire series. So we shouldn't see Ramirez on Thursday either. Good to see the White Sox take advantage of that. Cleveland, such a different lineup when those guys are not in there. They don't have a lot of pop to begin with, but no Naylor, no Ramirez. Sox were able to take advantage of that. So Sox were living by the home run on Tuesday. They also had 16 hits, but those 3 home runs on Tuesday, wondering, you know, would there be a potential power outage on Wednesday? That has happened before. Sox will score a lot of runs, lot of offense, and then go quiet the next game. Thankfully, that was not the situation on Wednesday. Pretty sharp outing from Mike Clevenger. We'll get into the details later in this episode. Sox with another 3-home-run game. Sheets, Berger, and Vaughn, and another game with double-digit hits. This was manager Pedro Grifol after Tuesday's win. That was game one of the Cleveland series. I'm just happy with our guys. They're just continuing to fight and put together at-bats and not waste any at-bats. That's the key to this whole thing. We've got 27 outs. Don't waste them. James Fegan had a good article in The Athletic recently. This is what Fegan wrote. And in vacuum, overcoming 9 games in the division standings isn't daunting from a historical perspective, but there has been an awful lot of Major League Baseball played in this country, and it's well established that if you start the season 14-29, good things are not waiting for you in October nor even August. This isn't over, Gavin Sheets said. We have too much talent to lay over. We got some big matchups these next 2 weeks, and we could still make a statement and have a great May and take it into June and see what happens. This isn't over. That's a great mentality from Gavin Sheets, and he's backing it up with his bat. We've been talking throughout this week and something that Pedro Grifol has said recently, and really it's just game at a time, one game at a time right now. And you just kind of remove yourself of how many games back you are in the AL Central. Try to forget about April and the beginning of May as a team collectively, just, again, floundering. But, you know, we're on this 2-game winning streak, I guess you want to call it. Hopefully there's a sweep in the cards for the Sox on Thursday. but just one game at a time, one series at a time, and, you know, make every at-bat count, make every inning count, and the Sox have been doing that the last two games against Cleveland. Davis Martin, unfortunate situation for Davis Martin. He underwent season-ending Tommy John surgery per the White Sox. This was from an article by Vinny Duber from CHGO. Martin was very good in fill-in work last season, pitching in 14 games and making 9 starts. His ERA at season's end, a less than sterling 4.83 mark, wasn't reflective of his season-long quality, inflated thanks to a 9-run shelling in game 162. I was there. That was an ugly way to finish an ugly season. He carried a 3.65 ERA into that start and had only given up more than 3 earned runs in 2 outings. I believe he left that game hurt, if I remember correctly. So Pedro Grifol pointed to Jesse Schultens as the likely next man up once an opening in the rotation comes around due to injury or whatever else. Past Schultens, who has a 3.99 ERA in 7 AAA starts and made a couple of big league relief appearances in April, Grifol said there are few others in the minor leagues who are nearing readiness for such a fill-in assignment if necessary, but didn't list specific names. Pending an out-of-nowhere emergence of someone like Schultens, which is obvious precedent in what Martin did last year, the White Sox's rotation is playing the remainder of the season without a net. That's not an enviable position to be in, considering the obvious realities of a major league season and the microscopic margin of error for the team as it attempts to ascend from its sub-500 standing. So, not a lot of depth at all in terms of starting pitching, something that we were all hoping that the White Sox front office would address a little bit more seriously in the offseason. And I thought we would have seen Davis Martin sooner. Ozzie Guillen talked about in the pregame on NBC Sports Chicago, he thought maybe Davis Martin should have broke with camp. He was kind of surprised that he didn't. And we always felt, I felt at least, a little comfort in knowing that Davis Martin was there in case something happened to our starters, which that's the weird thing about this White Sox starting rotation right now, is they've all remained relatively healthy, of course, except they've been struggling, very inconsistent. Hopefully that changes. I've seen a couple good starts now, Lance Lynn and Mike Clevenger here in this Cleveland series. Turn your attention to Eloy Jimenez, multiple sources here. Eloy Jimenez said he felt like he was going to die when he woke up with intense pain, and that eventually turned into an appendicitis, but he's feeling good now, running and playing catch. He's hopeful he'll be back after a rehab stint sooner than White Sox's initial estimation, perhaps by next weekend. Pedro Grifol said he didn't know if Eloy's hoped for return date of next week is possible or not, but he loves Eloy's mindset during his comeback. And I was wondering this, and James Fegan tweeted it out. What does a lineup look like when Eloy Jimenez comes back? Both Berger and Sheets, white hot. You got to keep those bats in the lineup. And this is what Fegan wrote. Prioritizing Jimenez could effectively provoke a return of the Sugar platoon, where Sheets plays right or Berger DHs, depending on whatever spot Jimenez fills that day. This was Grifol. Berger will play a little bit of first base, Grifol shot down the idea of Berger or Moncada shifting to second at this point. He'll play some third base when I give Moncada a day off. He'll have to have one at some point, but it gives us flexibility to do some things. At the same time, I'd rather have Eloy than have flexibility at DH. We're looking forward to having him as well and really extending our lineup. We are where we are right now, and Jake brings some depth, some added value to us. I know he's going to help everybody around him in the lineup as well. And that is just a big question right now. You know, what are you going to do? I know Grifol talked about Eloy Jimenez getting his legs rested while he's recovering from the appendectomy, so he could maybe play some time out in right field. And then with that shift, maybe Sheets to DH, and then Berger, where's he going to play? Are you going to force Moncada to take a day off? You know, someone's going to maybe go to first. That means Vaughn, who homered on Wednesday, leads the team in RBIs. He's going to have a day off. There's a lot to figure out right now. I do not envy Grifol and the coaching staff, but hey, one thing at a time here. Keep Sheets and Berger hot. Look at this Thursday afternoon game is almost a must win, a series win, not enough. I want the sweep and then go in to what the weekend series will look like. Now, Clevinger, he looks sharp until the seventh, but the White Sox bullpen has been effective as of late. Offense provided cushion once again via the long ball. More on that in a moment. Today's episode is brought to you by Bird Dogs. These pants and shorts from Bird Dogs, unbelievably comfortable, versatile, and they just fit right. They move with you. They give me the freedom to wear one pair of shorts on the golf course, spend some time with friends, cut the grass, go for a run, go to the Sox game, or hang out with family at a barbecue. Absolutely love the stretchy fabric, far more comfortable than any other shorts. I've been wearing these Bird Dogs for the last several days, doing all kinds of stuff around the house. I'm going to wear them to the game Thursday afternoon. They are a must-have, perfect fit for this coming summer. Go to birddogs.com/lockedonMLB. And when you enter promo code LOCKEDONMLB, they'll throw in a free custom Bird Dogs Yeti style tumbler with every order. The White Sox play the Cleveland Guardians on Thursday series finale. Catch every pitch of the White Sox hometown broadcast with SiriusXM on the SXM app. Search White Sox. Sox took down the Guardians 7-2 on Wednesday. We'll take it top of first. Clevinger, he was sitting around 95 miles per hour. He had Kwan 0-2 and ended up walking him. He had some control problems throughout the game, but it was a sharp outing from Clevinger. It was a 7-pitch at bat for Kwan. That was the amount of pitches that Lance Lynn threw in the entire first inning on Tuesday. Josh Bell ripped a 2-out. Double to right field. Kwan came all the way around from first to score. It was quickly 1-0 Cleveland. Bottom first, Battenfield was on the mound for Cleveland. Kwan continued to make a difference, this time in left field, robbed Anderson of extra bases. Andrew Vaughn had a base hit to right field. Luis Robert Jr. missed a middle cutter and then struck out. Moncada popped out. Sox quiet in the first. Top of second, quick inning for Clevinger. Pretty nice movement on that slider. That was a theme on Wednesday, as well as working up in the zone. Bottom of the second, Gavin Sheets took a 93-mile-per-hour fastball. It was middle, and he parked it into the center field seats for his sixth home run, a game tied at one. Go top of three. Speedster Miles Straw led off with a double down the third base line. After Kwan made it to third, Clevinger fielded his position well to save a run from scoring. After three, Clevinger just gave up two hits, that one run, couple of walks, and one strikeout. 36 pitches after three. Pretty nice. Bottom three, White Sox had T.A. lead off with a base hit up the middle. He stole second. Nice to see that knee feeling better. Luis Robert Jr. not able to do much with a cutter again. Two outs for Moncada, and he could not handle the high cutter. After three, White Sox had one run, four hits, three left on base. They were 0-for-2 with runners in scoring position. Battenfield, again, on the mound for Cleveland. He did not have overpowering stuff. Cutter and slider that did provide some problems. Sox hitters needed to be a little bit more disciplined. Top of four, Clevinger's 0-2 offering to Brennan was a fastball thigh high in the zone and a rip to center field for a leadoff base hit. Freeman shot one past Moncada. So Cleveland with first and second, nobody out. Clevinger was able to roll a 4-6-3 double play, got out of the jam by striking out Zanino with a slider. Bottom four, things got interesting here. Vaughn led things off with a blast to left center for his fifth home run of the year, 2-1 Sox. And then Jake Berger with another bomb, his 10th of the year, 4-1 Sox. Sheets and Berger go yard in back-to-back games, hitting sixth and seventh in the lineup, providing some power down at the bottom. You know, that 6-9 in the lineup was a wasteland for a while for the White Sox. Top of five, around 50 pitches on Clevinger's arm to start the inning. Would be nice. I was thinking if he could go 7 or 8 on Wednesday. You know, with a day game on Thursday, quick turnaround, arrested bullpen would be nice. Kwan with a one-out double. Then Clevinger hit Jimenez in an 0-2 count. Clevinger went upstairs to strike out Josh Bell. He was mixing things up, eye levels for sure. And that upstairs was a friend to Mike Clevinger. Bottom of five, Benintendi with a leadoff double. Moncada punched one into left field. Kwan was not able to make a play. Benintendi scored. Battenfield was bounced. Good to hear Nana, hey, hey, kiss him goodbye being played. Glad that is still around. It was used a few times on Wednesday. What a great tradition. 5-1 Sox. Let's go to the top of the sixth. Clevinger living upstairs, similar to what Lance Lynn did on Tuesday. It was a clean inning. Clevinger gave up 5 hits after 6 innings, 5 strikeouts, and 83 pitches. Bottom of six, Yasmani Grandal with a leadoff hit, but then left the game with a leg issue. Hopefully he is okay. He's the clubhouse leader in batting average, .295. I mean, he has been pretty impressive with the bat, but over the last 3, 4, 5 games, you've noticed he's been dealing with something with the lower half there. Hastily pinch ran and stole second. Tim Anderson shot one to right field. Sox scored their 6th run of the game. Cleveland could not turn a double play, and Sox scored again. A couple manufactured runs in the inning. 7-1 Sox. Top of seven. So Cleveland had the first two guys on. You know, Clevinger started the game, which I didn't really mind with 83 pitches on his arm. You know, try to sneak one more inning out of him. He looked pretty sharp. I mean, it's 7-1 Sox. Save some of the bullpen for Thursday. But he started the inning. They had the first two guys on. The wild pitch moved runners to second and third. Then he walked Kwan, and that was it then for Clevinger. So some major control problems in the seventh. Lopez came in with a bases loaded, nobody out situation, an El Duque situation, if you will. Big strikeout of Rosario on a full count. Lopez was sitting 98, 99 miles per hour. I saw him touch 100 once. Had an effective slider as well, but Lopez did lose some control. Another full count, and Moncada made a great play going back to grab a fly ball. Visions of a Danny Mendick collision bouncing around in my head. Two outs. Ronaldo walked Bell. Cleveland scored 7-2. Still 7-2 Sox. Strikeout of Brennan limited the damage to just one run. Lopez pretty angry with himself as he left the mound, but not a bad job there, just getting away with one run. Top of eight, Sox up 5, and Pedro Grifol starting to go with Joe Kelly. Kelly has been just absolutely impressive. He looks like he could be in some real high leverage situations, not necessarily up 5, but good to see him work. I mean, Kelly's last 7 games, 7 innings, a hit, 0 earned runs, 0 walks, 12 strikeouts, something like that. Just absolutely impressive. Bottom eight, Jake Berger. How about this guy? Jake Berger with a 1-out triple to right center. He's got the mustache now, so mustache power. It was good to see him use the bat in back-to-back games. Top of 9, Graveman was in. He got a double play to end it. Clevinger's final line, 6 innings, 6 hits, 2 earned runs, Four walks, five strikeouts. His ERA sits at 4.56. He threw 95 pitches. Bullpen, Lopez, Kelly, Graveman. We still have yet to see Garrett Crochet. Wondering if maybe Thursday will be the day. Sox offense, 7 runs, 12 hits, 3 home runs, Sheets, Vaughn, Berger. Sox, a little disappointing here. 2-for-12 with runners in scoring position. Again, when you're hitting multiple home runs like the Sox have in back-to-back games, these types of stats kind of hide a little bit. But when you're not clubbing the ball out of the ballpark, that's when these stats need to change. You got to manufacture some runs. You got to have good at-bats, obviously, with guys in running and runners in scoring position. Luis Robert was 0-for-4 with 2 strikeouts on Wednesday. Berger, 3-for-4, 2 RBIs. Good to see Sox offense succeed when Robert kind of had an off day in the month of May, which has been rare. Winning the series, not good enough in my mind. Sox need to sweep. They're going to send Dylan Cease to the mound to get that done. More on that in a moment. Today's episode is brought to you by So Rare. Our new sponsor, So Rare, is a revolutionary fantasy baseball game and marketplace transforming fans into owners with officially licensed digital cards and featuring players from across all 30 MLB teams. Unlike other fantasy baseball platforms, So Rare managers truly own their fantasy experience, collecting, buying, selling, and competing with player cards against global opponents to win epic rewards. Win or lose, you still own your own cards, and there's no cost to play. Plus, the more you win, the more you advance, collecting increasingly powerful cards and accessing next-level competitions and rewards. Head to SoRare.com/lockdown. That's spelled SORARE.com to draft your team of free players, player cards, set your lineup, and start competing today to win epic rewards. Again, that's SoRare.com/lockdown to start playing today. It's a series finale on Thursday. Sox going for the sweep. Dylan Cease on the hill. Dylan Cease has a record of 4-3 with an ERA of 3.74 and 46 strikeouts in 9 appearances against the Guardians in his career. In 2022, Dylan Cease had a 2-1 record with an ERA of 1.96 and 19 strikeouts in 4 appearances against Cleveland. So far this season, Dylan Cease has a record of 2-2 with an ERA of 4.86 and 54 strikeouts in 9 appearances this 2023 season. Last start, it was a good one. It was that Saturday game, the Eloy Jimenez bobblehead game against Houston. He went 6 innings, gave up 4 hits, 0 earned runs, a couple of walks, and 5 strikeouts. After that start, Cease basically said, look, this is what we can be as a team. We put it all together, and this is how dangerous we can be, essentially. Sox went on to lose the next game on Sunday, but let's forget about that. You know, we're right here on a 2-game winning streak against the Cleveland Guardians that are without Jose Ramirez and most likely without Josh Naylor. We'll see on Thursday. Again, series win, it's nice. It's nice after the Sox scuffled for 2 straight series, again, against an AL Central opponent. But let's have the sweep. You know, why stop? You know, the Sox need to go on a run. This is a critical AL Central stretch. Keep it going. And I'm looking for Dylan Cease, you know, to continue what he did on Saturday. No letback. Do not step back. You know, and I'm looking for a solid lineup out of Pedro Grifol, not a getaway game lineup. We'll see if Yaz can play or not. I'm assuming they're going to give him a day off, but keep things pretty consistent and hope the bats continue beyond Thursday into the weekend. Folks, thank you so very much for making this podcast part of your daily routine. You can find the Locked On White Sox podcast absolutely everywhere you find your podcast. We're on Twitter at Locked On Sox. You can find me on Twitter at Nick_GGTB. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel, and any questions, comments you've got, get them in at lockedonsox@gmail.com. White Sox take on the Guardians on Thursday in the series finale. Catch every pitch of the White Sox hometown broadcast with SiriusXM on the SXM app. Search White Sox. Thanks for making Locked On White Sox your first listen every day. Hey, everydayers, on the next episode, I will recap Dylan Cease's outing, hopefully be talking about a sweep for our White Sox. Appreciate you making time for the Locked On White Sox podcast. I'm Nick Morawski. Until next time, go Sox!